Okay, turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1. Thank you, worship team, for leading us each and every week. Put your bookmark in Colossians. We're going to be there for a while. We've titled the series Rooted and Built Up. Rooted because believers are rooted in Christ but have to grow. They have to be built up. Paul began this great rich book and the first two verses by just saying, Paul, an apostle by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers. And so we talked about how as believers in Christ, I know it's hard to believe and it's hard to even say, but we're saints set apart by God, made holy through the blood of Jesus. And then he said there'll be grace and peace that will live out each and every day. My home and study Bible writes of Colossians. Colossians provides one of the Bible's fullest expressions of the deity and supremacy of Christ. This is most evident in the magnificent hymn of praise found in chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, which we're going to be at next week. I can hardly wait. It's like one of the greatest passages in all the Bible. So I hate to peek too early in the season of Colossians, but once you understand the real incredible supremacy of Jesus, and then it has all these implications for us that we have to live out, and that's what Colossians is about. He goes on to say, in Christ we're all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Because of him, the entire fullness of God's nature dwells in Jesus. The supremacy of Christ also has implications for believers' salvation, conduct, and contributes to Scripture a high Christology in how we're to live our lives. So Paul began a prayer. We looked at it last week in verse 3. It goes like this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Now keep in mind, Jesus, as far as we know, Paul had never met these people. He's in a prison cell. But because he'd heard of their faith, not just believing in something whimsical, but their faith in Christ and how they loved all the saints and their hope that they had placed in heaven, he prayed for them regularly and thanked God for them. Well, as a remarkable start of a prayer, he continues the prayer in our passage today. We're going to pick up with verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For all endurance, with all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Powerful prayer, and we're going to unpack exactly what Paul is praying for, not only for the Colossians, but I believe for us, and also is something that we can pray for each other. So, Paul prayed for three things. He prayed for us to, number one, know God's will. Look at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Again, Paul hasn't met them. He's in a prison cell, but he's heard about them and heard about their faith and their love and their hope. So he doesn't stop praying for them. This isn't a one and done prayer. This is a continual prayer of Paul's heart. Paul's in prison. You'd think his prayers might be a little more, I don't know, woe is me. But instead, they're very focused on Jesus. And if you look at Philippians, and we think we're going to do that later in the year, is focused on the joy the Lord brings. I want to remind you that he's praying for him a prison cell. And I don't know, I just felt prompted to say, there's got several text messages this morning. Folks aren't feeling well. They're watching on YouTube. Some are protecting their health during this time. Do you know that this could be the most powerful time of prayer in your life? I mean, praying for our church. We pray for you and you pray for us. Prison cell doesn't keep Paul from praying. The virus can't keep us from praying. Could be some of our best prayer time if we'll just focus on the Lord. Well, he prayed for the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's will. Now, when we think of the Lord's will, I think we normally think of about, you know, five or six things that we're going to have to deal with eventually in life. Like, I don't know, when you're young, you're like, who am I going to marry? That's a biggie. You do need to seek the Lord. What's my major going to be? So then you move on to life and you're like, which job should I take? Well, you do need to seek the Lord on that. Do I need to relocate? And there's all these big things in our moment that's like, feels like a fork in the road. So we got to pray really hard because there's this fork in the road. I get it. We do need to pray hard during those times. But it seemed to me that about 95 to 99% of our time, there isn't a fork in the road. There's just a daily choice of living out our Christian life each and every day. And what would God say about that? What would God's will be for tomorrow with no fork in the road? Well, do I need to forgive my brother? How do I handle my finances? Am I supposed to care for the poor? What should be my daily Christian habits? How can I love my spouse better? My children better? My aging parents better? Someday you'll worry about that. Do I participate in a local church? Do I serve the Lord in some specific capacity? And then Paul would say, I believe, I'm praying that you will have a full understanding of God's will for these things and more. And we find them in God's revealed word. His will for daily living is in his revealed will. So yes, we pray for those big things that are going to come up, but we have to pray for those little things and get to know his will in everything. He prays for us to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That leads to three things. Actually, the first two he pairs together. He pairs wisdom and understanding together. And there is a wisdom of the world and a wisdom from above. That's what Scripture says. Church, we need the wisdom from above. Mark Manel writes, wisdom is about knowing what action or behavior is good, what is beneficial, what is healthy. It cannot be learned from a book or reduced to a theoretical soundbite. It takes years of experience and insight, years of success, years of failure. What is the best way to gain wisdom? Surely it's to spend time with wise people. And there's no one wiser than our God. So we need to spend time with our wise God on a regular basis through God's word, through prayer. Have you ever noticed, this isn't always true, but sometimes the folks who are at least perceived to be some of the wisest have gray hair. Now, I don't have hair, so that's a problem. But older folks who've lived a long time and they've been through several funerals in their family and they're still living for the Lord. They've had good days and bad days financially. They've experienced sickness and wholeness, and they've just kind of lived a whole life and they just keep walking with the Lord. Don't you want to just be around those people? And I want to say a special word to the younger folks. in our congregation. And I don't know where that puts you. But often when we're young, we seek advice from our peers. And may I respectfully remind you that they know nothing more than you do. And if that offended you, I'm so sorry. It's good to hear from our friends, but my challenge is to seek someone older, a little bit older than you. If you're in the youth group, seek out Kyle or Caleb or Grady or Dawn. You know, if you're college age, there's someone a little bit younger than you. And so, or older than you. So, to us older folks, and again, I don't know what category that puts you in. I guess there's a lot in the middle, or just a lot in denial. I think it's on us to pass on some wisdom. And that doesn't mean cramming at them or yelling at them. That means walking alongside them and mentoring them over time. That's how wisdom is passed on. So Paul says he wants us to know all of God's will that will lead to wisdom and understanding. And lastly, walking to please God. So being filled with the will of God leads to wisdom and understanding that changes our daily conduct, which leads to daily living, being worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 27, 28 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in the Spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. So we stand firm, we walk in a way that's worthy of Christ, and we're not afraid of anyone who opposes Christ or opposes us. That's what Paul says. But our conduct must be different. You know, in today's world, I see folks of different opinions, but often their conduct is the same. Our conduct is to be worthy of Jesus Christ. We're to look like Jesus in our daily conduct. So Paul prayed for us to know God's will. Second, he prayed that we'd bear fruit. Look at verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, I believe Paul is actually praying for discipleship here. He wants us to grow. So knowledge of God's will leads to wisdom and understanding and living a life worthy of Christ. But Paul isn't looking for a quick fix. This isn't a prayer and boom, it just happens. This is a constant, unceasing prayer of Paul's. And that there are certain things that need to change in us, and the Spirit does it. In Colossians 3, we're going to see there are certain things we have to put off, like anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. But there are certain things we're supposed to put on, like love and humility and kindness and all the things that reflect God. Paul writes in Galatians about an inward fruit. There's at least two fruit, I believe, that's in the Bible. One is inward and one's outward. We'll try to explain that here. But for an example, Galatians 5, the famous fruit of the Spirit passage, verse 23, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit produces something in the believer. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love that. So there's certain things that should be produced in us because we're yielding to the Spirit. It's a character transformation that happens over time. The second kind of fruit that is produced is outside the believer. When we work for the Lord, sowing in His garden, we see folks make commitments to Christ. We see folks grow in Christ, make incredible sacrifices. It's gratifying to see a child in Awana surrender to Christ and give their life to Christ. That's fruit. It's incredible to see someone who's in a Bible study for weeks and all of a sudden an aha moment comes and they make a commitment to live differently or a commitment to begin reading their Bible and praying every day. That's fruit. It's incredible to see a young person who you spend a little time with and they're growing up right before our eyes and God is shaping them and molding them and you've had influence. That's fruit. You invite and you're kind and you do things for a neighbor and you pray for them and they finally accept that invitation to the Christmas service. That's fruit. So He's praying that we'll have fruit. Inward character transformation. And as the Spirit hits us, there's like a ripple effect. And it begins to touch other people. That's fruit. 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9 says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants from whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted," Paul says. "Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers." So we're told to plant, water, cultivate, contribute. But God causes the growth and fruit is born through what God does in our lives. God goes on to pray, Paul goes on to pray, that they would bear fruit and increase in knowledge. So remember, he's already prayed for knowledge. So he prays for them to have knowledge of God's will, for them to begin to walk worthy of the gospel, to bear fruit and increase in knowledge of God. Do you see how that works? When you understand God's will and the Holy Spirit is working in you and you begin to step out and sow seed and fruit is born, you learn more about God. As you experience Him, you're like, "God, you're who you said you were. I mean, I prayed and I prayed and He gave His life to Christ. I've been working with these aggravating children for..." Excuse me, the children are gone, so do not repeat what I just said. "I've been working with these challenging children for all these years, and she just got baptized. Oh my gosh. God, you're who you say you are." So that is just trusting the Lord that He's going to do the work if we're faithful. John 15, 4 and 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me," Jesus said. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the one who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So I want to submit to you the goal. I don't know if you've got New Year's goals, and there's some good ones, or if you've already quit your New Year. It's okay. Grace, God's grace. So there's a lot you can accomplish in this life, and congratulations to those accomplishments, graduations and job promotions and all those things, but they stay in this life. I mean, Paul's ambition was fruit, not accomplishments. I mean, fruit lasts. Fruit remains. And so praying that we'd have a knowledge of God's will that leads to right conduct and spiritual transformation that bears fruit that remains. William Barclay writes, I'm going to save that one just a second. Paul prayed for us to know God's will to bear fruit. And the last thing we want to talk about, and then we'll get to Barclay's quote. I'm so eager. Paul prayed that we would be strengthened with power. Because what we're talking about is knowing all of God's will, doing it, having the character transformed, fruit being born. You're like, how's that going to happen? Verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. So again, as we're being filled with all knowledge of God, and as we're striving to change our behavior, live according to the gospel, fruit is being born in us and around us. He makes a promise. He's going to strengthen us with his power. Okay, not just any power, not willpower, not any kind of social media power. By his mighty power, his glorious might. Now, when I hear the words glorious might, I'm a little stunned, because I think of Moses in front of the Red Sea and God's mighty, glorious might just parts the water. I think of David. I'm like, with his glorious might, whoosh, Goliath's dead. I think of his glorious might and I think of Lazarus coming forth. Okay, all those examples are true and more. But that same glorious might, Paul says, will strengthen you to live out what he's called you to do, what he's praying for. God will strengthen you with his glorious might. Warren Wiersbe writes, we usually think of God's glorious might being revealed in great feats of daring. The Israelites crossing the Red Sea, David leading an army, Paul raising the dead. But the emphasis here is on Christian character, patience, long-suffering, joyfulness, and thanksgiving. And these inner victories of the soul are just as great, if not greater, than the public victories recorded in the annals of history. And you know what some of your struggles are. And so to admit that I need that same kind of power to overcome those victories, those struggles, just as powerful. Notice that God's glorious might produces in the believer four things that he talks about. Endurance, patience, joy, thanksgiving. Let's talk about each one for just briefly. Endurance. Robert Wall defines endurance as the act of hanging on to one's most essential commitments during difficult situations. So when difficult situations come, the one who endures hangs on to their core Christian beliefs. They hang on to Jesus in difficult situations. Paul endured all sorts of situations. He's got a whole, I can't read them all. He had shipwrecks and snake bites and, jail terms and beatings, stonings. He just goes on and on and on. And yet he endured. He ran the race set before him. The endurance of the Christian is because we are strengthened with God's glorious might. What about patience? Be honest with you, endurance and patience is kind of interchanged sometimes with the commentators, but to nuance the conversation, how about if we say it this way? Endurance is hanging on to our essential commitments during difficult situations, circumstances. How about if we said patience is hanging on to our essential commitments and character with difficult people? I think I'll close in prayer. Endurance, we hang on to who we are through difficult times. Patience, we hang on to who we are when dealing with difficult people. And by the way, it is a fruit of the Spirit. Someone a long time ago said this. I don't know who to give credit. It was 30-some years ago I heard it. But patience is the ability to wait without irritation. So, patience is not saying, I'm about to lose my patience. It's already gone. Okay, it's already gone. But that work of the Spirit, when I can wait without irritation. By the way, there are times I'm very irritated. And that's when I know I need a little more time with the Lord. Okay? If I can't let a little old lady have the parking spot without getting irritated, then I probably need some time with Jesus. I'm just saying. Patience is hanging on to her character with difficult people. Joy. We must not forget that Paul's in prison and yet he never lost his joy. Like patience, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It was part of Paul's character. He was consistently joyful. When he was in prison with Silas, he sung and the prison door shook and opened. Just joyful. He wrote a whole book of Philippians in prison. The whole book just is saturated with joy. He prayed that you and I might know God's will, live it out in a worthy manner, bear fruit, and be joyful in all circumstances because of God's mighty power. Nehemiah said, it's the joy of the Lord that's my strength. Now, by the way, again, not pie in the sky. I think I've been to six funerals now in 5 weeks. There's a lot more out there, but I'm just saying I've been around a lot of grieving people. And there's going to be hard times in this life. Jesus said you'll have trouble. So it is the person, though, who says the joy of the Lord, despite difficult circumstances, despite difficult people, it is the joy of the Lord that's my strength. And I don't care what you do to me, you can't take away my joy. Last one is thanksgiving. Listen to Paul as he concludes our section with thanksgiving. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So he's reminding us why we can be thankful as saints. You know, there's a lot of good descriptions of what happens when you come to Christ. One is, of course, being born again, John 3. Here we have this description of, we are born in a domain of darkness, which has sin and death. When we come to Christ, we are transferred to a domain of light and forgiveness and eternal life. That is why we can be thankful. Now, William Barclay says, make me, O Lord, victorious over every circumstance. Make me be patient with every person. And give me the joy which no circumstance and no man will ever take. So Paul prayed for the Colossians, for us, that we might know all of God's will. That we might live it in such a way that the Spirit is bearing fruit in us and around us, and that we know we're strengthened by his mighty power for endurance and patience and joy and thanksgiving. So today you're here. How do you respond to Paul's prayer? Well, first, You have to receive it. I want to receive all of that God has for me. I want to learn all of God's will for my life. I want to live it the way I'm supposed to live it. I want to bear fruit in and around me. And I need God, you to strengthen me with your mighty power. The same power that split the Red Sea needs to change me. And needs to change the people around me. And then maybe you could start praying this prayer for our church, for your family, for those people around you who you care about, that you've been sowing those seeds. And just say, God, reveal to them everything about your will. Help them to see. It's got to be a spiritual transformation. God, bear the gospel, the fruit of the gospel in their lives. I'm going to pray this prayer regularly. Will you join me? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for Paul's prayer. And to hear his passion for these people he didn't even know, he hadn't even met from a prison cell. And yet he prayed and prayed. He says unceasingly, he never stopped praying for them. Lord, I pray for everyone here, our church, that we might be filled with the knowledge of your will that leads to wisdom, that leads to worthy gospel living, that would bear fruit in us and around us. And God, in difficult situations and with difficult people, we need to be strengthened. We ask you to strengthen us with your mighty power that would produce joy and thanksgiving in us for all that you've done. And Lord, if there is one person here or more who's never given their heart and life to Christ, none of this spiritual reality we're talking about is open to them until they step through the door, till they accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, asking for forgiveness, pledging their life to live for Jesus. Draw them. God, reveal to them that they must make a decision to leave the domain of darkness, choose Jesus, and be transferred into the domain of light and forgiveness and eternal life. We pray that for them. Help us now as we sing this last song and think on these things and make commitments. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So would you stand and sing and respond? Let the Lord know what you are committing to today.